Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 9th, 2014. Pastor Mark Schlainer. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this Sunday, which our church body has identified as the Last Judgment during the end times season, when we reflect upon the return of our Savior and today concentrate particularly on Judgment Day itself, our text is going to be from the second letter of Peter in chapter 3, beginning at the third verse. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Thus far the text. Dear family in Christ, there are many in this world who have a fascination with the end of the world. You know, deep down, everyone knows this is coming. Just looking around us, anyone with the slightest intelligence can see that nothing in this world lasts. Everything wears out. It doesn't take a genius to put two and two together and come up with four. But how will the world end? And what will happen to the earth's inhabitants? And does that have any personal impact on me? Well, the answer to these questions are wide open to those who either do not know or do not accept what the Bible teaches. There have been and there will continue to be all sorts of movies and shows speculating about the end of the world. You know, in the last few years, there's been Knowing in 2012. And if you get the cable, maybe you've noticed that show on some channels called Ancient Aliens. Now, many of these are done just to make money. But some actually are claiming that they want to be taken seriously. And all of them have this in common in one way or another. They mock at or scoff off what the Lord has to say about the final judgment. Well, what is that last judgment really about? Two basic points. First, the Lord brings down the ungodly scoffers. And second, the Lord brings home the repentant believers. Did you notice that when the world wants to talk about the end of the world, it's either going to be blamed on some sort of a climate change, whether naturally occurring or caused by people, or space aliens, or the sun blowing up, or the ever-popular comet or asteroid hitting the Earth. Well, all of them have the same problem. The Lord is dismissed from the end of the world as either a myth or a misunderstanding. And if the Bible's ever mentioned, it's always in the description from other cultures. Never given a thought that these other cultures maybe have a fuzzy reflection of the Genesis flood and the announcement of the final days. And it never crosses the mind of the scoffers that the Lord made certain Moses wrote down an accurate account of the great flood. And the idea that the Lord announces how he'll bring this world to its end is then lumped in with that Mayan calendar nonsense that upsets some people until that Mayan date passed, and surprise, we're still all here. And where God's word is even given lip service, it's so distorted as to be nearly unrecognizable. You read the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel has that vision. It's very unusual. Well, the living creatures in it are often described by people of this world as space aliens from outer space who are going to harvest just a few selected children from across the world while everyone else, believers included, get destroyed. Now, that was the main theme in that movie, Knowing, starring Nicolas Cage. It came out a few years ago. What a mockery of God's justice. We remember how Abraham pleaded with God to spare the cities of the plain and his nephew Lot, who lived among them. And when Abraham approached God, he did it with these words. You know, what if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Righteous, by the way, means those who believe God's promise of forgiveness. Not that we're such great people. Abraham certainly was a sinner. But righteous in the Old Testament means I believe my sins will be forgiven by the coming Savior's work. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And we know how Abraham whittled that number from 50 all the way down to 10. And God said, even if there are 10 believers there, I won't destroy those cities. And there weren't even 10. But then what did God do? Did he destroy the few believers along with the unbelievers? No. He made certain that he rescued Lot and his handful of family and got them out of town before the fire and brimstone hit. Well, then there's the other end of the scoffers. Those are the ones who boldly say things like this. God is love, and he won't send anyone to hell. That's just a scare story like the ones people were telling around Halloween the other week, huh? Now, if you're my age or older, or if you watch some antenna TV, you might have noticed in the last year an old show that came on, and they always had theme music for those with songs, remember? And this one started out, and the words were in there, there's Grandpappy Amos, the head of the clan. He roars like a lion, but he's gentle as a lamb. That was the start to the real McCoys. And of course, what's the point to that? Grandpappy Amos never really did anything to anybody. His bark was worse than his bite. And these scoffers try to turn God into a cardboard cutout like that. One-dimensional, not having any other way to deal with us. And how silly that is. We all know when we've experienced how our own parents love us and yet had to also discipline us at times. Or maybe now we're the parents and we've learned that much as we love our children, we do have to sometimes take them in hand and straighten them out. And yes, we may even know of instances where parents had to turn on their own children and turn them in, that they would receive due punishment from the authorities where criminals are to face the results of their crimes. And those stories do turn up occasionally. One happened a couple of years ago, made national news, that the parents actually informed the police where their child was, who was being hunted for certain various and serious crimes. But then God himself isn't supposed to punish those who mock his will, break his laws, and turn their backs on his mercy? These are the worst kind of scoffers, for they actually fool themselves into thinking God's only trying to scare us when he says that he is holy and just and righteous and will not put up with sin. You see, he's all these things as well as loving. He offers us his love, but if you reject that love, then you have to face his righteousness. They misunderstand God's patience with bringing that last judgment and turn it into the idea that God's never going to do it at all because it hasn't happened yet. And it's been 2,000 years since that was announced. And then, of course, go back to the readings that we had today, and in particular our text, where we're reminded that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to the Lord. It's only been 2 days in God's count since he made the announcement. That's not long. God's simply being patient with us and giving us the opportunity to reach out to others. And Jesus warned very solemnly against this kind of twisted thinking that people of the world had and what it's going to lead to. Take a look in Matthew chapter 24. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And it's not that they weren't warned, it's that they didn't listen. Noah was telling them for 120 years what was going to come, and they blew him off. And this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Our Savior describes hell as a place of unending torment in the account of the rich man and poor Lazarus. And he repeats that thought also in the book of Revelation, that vision that he gave to his apostle John, where hell is described as a lake of unending fire. And it's really the same thing Peter's writing about in the verses we're looking at today. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. He's going to catch people by surprise. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And there's only one escape from that type of disaster. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Now, what does that mean? Go back to your folder today and take a look at that reading from Thessalonians, I think it was. What type of people are we to be? It mentions that. Let's not jump in and do the things the world does, but let's take a good look at what God in his love invites us to participate in, to live his way in repentance. And then we focus on these words in our text. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, we have to remember in these words, Peter is not writing to unbelievers and telling them how they can save themselves. He's writing to people who know that we need a Savior, and we have one in Jesus, that we have our sins forgiven, and we're simply marking time, waiting for Jesus to come and take us home to heaven. For us, that last judgment is going to be a day of great joy. Remember what Jesus told us? When these things start happening, look up, for your salvation is coming. We're not going to be scared of the last judgment. We're looking forward to it because our names are written in that book of life. We're believers. God's not going to look at what we've done or what we've tried to do. He's going to look at what Jesus has done and covered our sins with. and that we look to Jesus, and therefore we have his forgiveness, and our names are recorded in the book of life. But until it comes, how are we, while we're still on this earth, to live? Are we to just sit around and twiddle our thumbs, or looking up in the sky the way the disciples were doing on the day of Jesus' ascension, until God sent a couple of angels to give them a nudge in the ribs and say, hey, he'll return. Now it's time for you to get back to work. Go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you're going to be going out throughout the world spreading the news. That's where we are. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And be those gospel lights God has called us to be in his name, shining in a sin-darkened world, sharing the light of the news of Jesus, the Savior, that every soul needs on earth. Just by the way that we act and talk, our joy in the Lord and his forgiveness is to become an invitation to those around us to join with us. It doesn't take a trained missionary to say, you know, our family is going to worship this Sunday morning. Would you like to come along? Children often make those kind of invitations to their friends at school or at sleepovers or at sporting events all the time. And when someone invites you to go to a moving or a hunting trip or shopping, you know, if you want to accept it and you're able to, go right ahead. But take it deeper. Give them a return invitation. Say, how would you like to come and join with me and share the joy of salvation? Come to worship with us. Whether it's on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning or a special event, find a time when you're both able to come and invite them to join you with that. Live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. How do you speed God's coming? Well, time is perceptive. I remember when I was growing up, there was a devotion that was used in our Christian day school. I think it was from those little gospel talk books, you know, and the kids were at grandma's house. There were three of them there, and grandma was baking cookies. Well, when are they going to be done? Well, when the big hand gets on the 12 and the little hand gets on the 3, we'll take them out of the oven. They'll be done. You could sit here and watch the clock. And grandma went off to do some other chores. Well, you know what happened. The oldest one's going, this isn't any fun watching a clock. And she went out and she started helping grandma in the garden. And the other one said, this is, you know, I got to do something. And he went off and did something else. I don't know if it was reading a book or helping cut the lawn or whatever. And they did that. And the littlest one, who couldn't really do those things yet, just sat there watching the clock and watched. And finally, the big hand got up there and the little hand got there. And she called out, it's time! And the other two come in and say, already? And the little one says, what do you mean already? It seemed like it took forever. If all you're going to do is sit around and watch a clock waiting for Jesus, you're going to get bored, you're going to get upset, and you're going to think he's never coming. But if you get involved in your life as Christians, that time's going to pass swiftly, and before you know it, it's going to be time for the Lord either to call you home or the Lord coming home to take all of us home on that last judgment day. Speed, it's coming. You know, the Lord has said when that last person that he wants brought to faith is brought to faith, the end will come. How do we speed that up? By getting the news out as quickly as possible. You've found a lot of different ways of doing that. There's not a lot of thumb twiddling in this congregation as a group. You live stream these services, and I was told on Thursday night they keep rerunning them then until 11 o'clock at night, and this one's going to be replayed throughout the afternoon. You rejoiced just last week in celebrating that you were able to start a Christian day school here. You got a lot of different activities that you're using on a personal level also to be involved in sharing God's love. Our other congregations are doing things. I don't know if you had it here, but at St. Peter's, they had a trunk or treat, and I know several other churches do too, and they use that to make an opportunity to talk to people or give them an invitation. And when the kids come through a trunk or treat at the Child Daycare Center, which is another outreach tool in the community for St. Peter, they're given little slips of paper that tell about what's available at the daycare center if they're young children, and a lot of those are. Or if maybe someone looks like they're going to be having a child, and they, you know, a little bit about how about baptizing your child, other invitations to come and participate, that they have services out there as well. You know, and worldwide, well, we've got places where the ladies, you know this well, the LWMS started up basically to support the medical mission outreach. What was that? Well, many African countries said, we're not going to let Christians just come in and preach. You've got to do something for the people. He said, fine, we'll help take care of their bodies. We'll start medical missions. We'll send nurses and doctors out. And when the people come, we'll also offer them the medicine they need for their souls. And the Christian Church in Africa has just blossomed over these decades to the point where they now have their own seminaries, they train their own pastors, and they're a separate church body in fellowship with us. And we've got other outreach tools that we use, too. We're digging point wells in many places to provide water for the bodies of the community. And when they come, our people there then get to tell them about the water of life for their souls. And they made opportunities getting ready for the Lord's return, not thumb twiddling. It's a joy to be involved in the Lord's work as those gospel lights in so many different ways. We find them here, we do them out throughout the world, and that's what we're invited to do and actually commanded to do by our Savior. Share his love with the world, and the sooner that news gets out to that last soul that will be brought to faith, the sooner the end comes. And the more we're involved with it, the less bored we are, and the more joy we'll have in serving our Savior. Isn't that a great thing? That's what Peter's inviting us to do here, too. So let us rejoice that we look forward to that end day when all of our problems are taken away forever. We don't want to see anyone end up on the other side with the goats. We want them all to become the sheep of Jesus. So we're reaching out in every way we can with that marvelous news of salvation. But the end is coming. And we do have to warn people who don't want to believe it or who make a joke about it that it is real. And we want them to be as prepared as we are in the love of Christ. Amen.